Let me tell you something, my friend. A weekly is not enough. You can't just show up and hear a little bit about Jesus, pray a quick prayer, and be victorious Monday through Saturday. You're going to have to walk with him every day of your life and let him change who you are.
Hello and welcome to this Wednesday edition of Destined for Victory. Wherever you are and however you may be listening, whether online, on radio, or on your mobile device, we're always glad to have you with us. Well, as Pastor Paul Shepherd would say, there are some Christians, not you, but people you know, who try to live the Christian life one day a week. Think about it this way. If you go to work once a week, you lose your job. If you only spend time with your husband or wife one day a week, you won't have a healthy marriage. Your relationship with God works the same way. And today, Pastor Paul wants to encourage you to make your relationship with Jesus a day-by-day, moment-by-moment proposition. Stay with us here or visit PastorPaul.net anytime to listen to Destined for Victory on demand. You can also download the podcast at Google Podcasts or wherever you get yours. Let's join Pastor Paul now for today's Destined for Victory message entitled, Prove It.
Second letter of the Apostle Peter, chapter 1, and I'd like you to look with me at verses 3 through 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to continue to take a look at this passage in 2 Peter, which is a letter Peter wrote to the church that was experiencing significant persecution at the hands of Nero in Rome. And the saints of God in the region had scattered, seeking refuge and seeking a place where they could continue to love the Lord and walk with the Lord. And he's writing to people to encourage them and build them up in their faith. And the point he makes here in the opening of the letter is that this is a prime time for those who name the name of Jesus Christ to prove, to demonstrate by their lives that they truly are followers of Christ. He's saying, in essence, this is a time for you to not have a spoken faith or to just say you are a Christian, but this is a time to prove it by a transformed life. This is the time to prove that you know the Lord by the way you live. And so he opened the letter and he began to talk about the fact that God has made provision for us to experience grace, to experience peace. And in fact, he says, God's divine power has made it possible for us to experience everything we need for life and godliness. If you don't have the power to be transformed, to be a child of God, welcome to the family. None of us have the power until we tap into God's divine resources. But God is able to make all of us the people that He has called us to be. And so in the opening message, we talked about the fact that you can be transformed. You don't have to be a person who experiences defeat. You can enjoy victory in Christ because God's power has made it available. You can win. And I said that if you're going to be in Christ, you might as well be in it to win it. You might as well be a real Christian, a victorious Christian. You might as well be one who has the goods, not one who has a testimony but no power. You might as well, if you're going to be saved, live it the way God has called you to live it. Have the real deal. Be in it to win it. I said in the first message, I don't like to do anything if I can't win it. I love winning. If it's Monopoly, I want to win. Card game, I want to win. I'm not in it just to play. I don't like sitting down with folks who say, it doesn't matter who wins. I want them at another table. I want the people at my table who want to win. If they don't win, they're going to leave with a slight attitude. That's my crew. Anybody can relate to that? That's my crew. I want the slight attitude because at my table, we're going to talk about one another. We're going to mess with one another's heads at my table. It's not a friendly Christian, Christianese table. You know, that sloppy agape. Praise the Lord. God bless you. No, no. At my table, we're talking about folk in love. Don't mean no harm, but we do have to let you know that you're going to lose. And yeah, that's just the way I'm in it to win it. And you ought to be that way about your Christian life. Don't be a miserable failure of a Christian when Christ has made it possible for you to experience genuine victory. But we've got to learn how to tap into that power. And with that in mind, I want you to look at this with me. Peter says here that that power is available to us through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And I ended the last message by talking about the fact that the key to tapping into this power is getting to know Jesus for yourself. You can't know about Him only. You gotta know Him for yourself. The power is in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's not enough to go to church. Thank God for going to church. But that's not enough. It's not enough to listen to Christian teaching. Thank God for that. But you've got to know God for yourself. You gotta have a real, personal, intimate knowledge of who He is. You got to make up in your mind that to be a Christian is truly to follow Him. See, in Bible times, when you were a follower of Christ, at least when Christ was on earth, literally that's what happened. They spent time with Him. They followed Him. They watched Him. They listened to Him. They asked Him questions. They interacted with Him. They received assignments from Him. That was being a follower of Christ. It's not just having a philosophy that you sort of adopt, but rather it is a vital, ongoing, daily relationship with the Lord. And I've come to tell you that that is what will change your life. If you go from a weekly expression of Christianity to a daily relationship, it'll change your life. Too many folk think Christianity is a weekly thing. You show up at church once a week. But let me tell you something, that won't change your life. Because Monday through Saturday, there's some things waiting on you. And somebody knows I'm telling the truth. And you can, and some of you know, in fact, if all you have is a Sunday experience or a weekend experience, you, by the time you can get home, that can be gone. If the wrong thing is waiting for you at home, then all that church can go right out the window. You ever cop the attitude soon as you got home from church? Ever had a problem soon as you got home from church? In fact, I've seen some folk, not you, but people I've seen them in the parking lot trying to get out of a crowded church. And they aren't moving fast enough. Somebody's in their way, greeting somebody, waving at them on the street. God bless you. Oh, call me this week. And you're back there mad. Let me tell you something, my friend. A weekly is not enough. You can't just show up and hear a little bit about Jesus, pray a quick prayer, and be victorious Monday through Saturday. You're going to have to walk with him every day of your life and let him change who you are. Christianity is not weekly. It's daily. It's moment by moment relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that is the key to tapping into his power. You have got to do it through the knowledge of him who called us, I love this phrase, by his own goodness and glory. He called us by his glory and his goodness. That reminds me of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, because he was establishing the fact even then that a transformed life has to do with direct contact with the Lord. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He was talking about Moses in the Old Testament and the fact that Moses, when he experienced the presence of God, it lit up his face. And he wore a veil because the Israelites couldn't take the glory of God on the face of Moses. But Paul is saying, we who are in Christ, we don't have to have a veil. We can have direct relationship, gaze right into the presence of God through Jesus, and he'll change our lives.
Coming up next, the rest of today's message, Prove It, with Pastor Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor at Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. If you've never stopped by our website, PastorPaul.net, I invite you to do it when you have some time. You'll find all of Pastor Paul's recent messages on demand, plus a host of great resources at our online store, including books and MP3 messages from Pastor Paul. PastorPaul.net is a great place to learn more about the ministry and all the great things friends like you are doing through your prayers and financial support. Now also watch selected video clips by subscribing to Pastor Paul on YouTube. For more details and links to all of his social media sites, be sure to visit PastorPaul.net. Do you want to become more like Jesus? Find out how next in the rest of today's message, Prove It. Once again, here's Pastor Paul.
Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. We who with the unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Here's what that means. The more you hang out with God, the more you become like God. That's what that means. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more you take on his attributes. Now, don't get into any cultic doctrine. You will never become Jesus. Let's stay straight now. Let's stay biblical. Let's keep our worldview biblical. You're not becoming God. You're not graduating to God. That's what some cults believe. That's what some of this crazy stuff out here believes. It is amazing what people will believe with little to no evidence. See, the thing I love about Christianity is that it is not just a faith based on somebody's theory, but it's based on the evidence, the external and the internal evidence of the divine inspiration of Scripture. There's reasons why we can put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because his word verifies he is who the word says he is. But it's amazing some of the crazy stuff people believe. And you got folk around here believing that they're becoming like God. How you gonna become God and you were born, you know, in a hospital somewhere? You can't become God. God had no beginning. God is from everlasting to everlasting. That disqualifies you. God wasn't born in Memorial Hospital. So let's keep it straight. None of us are becoming God, but the Bible says we can be like him. we can bear the image of God. That is, we can share in some of His attributes because we are becoming people whose lives are lined up with His purpose. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, the way to do that is you hang out with God, you gaze into His glorious face, and you are transformed in His presence. Let me show you what happened in Exodus 33, to which Paul alludes here. If you have your Bible, grab it and go to Exodus chapter 33. I want you to see what happened in the Old Testament and understand that what is available to you is even much greater. Exodus chapter 33. Now here is where God is dealing with Israel. They've come out of Egypt, but they're having trouble getting into the promised land because they're getting into all kinds of mess in the wilderness. And Moses had been up on the mountain, just to give you the context. He had been up on the mountain receiving the commandments of the Lord. And while he was up there, the folk got into devilment. You remember that? Look at that over in Exodus 32 when you get a chance. I don't have time to walk you through that. And in fact, while they were up there, Joshua heard the noise of the people and he said, oh, it sounds like a war has broken out. And Moses said, no, that's not the sound of victory. That's not the sound of defeat. He said, it is the sound of singing that I hear. And as they approached the camp, they saw the folk dancing. And his anger burned because he saw that they had gotten out of the will of God and gotten into foolishness that quick. See, if you don't know the Lord for yourself, when you get alone, when you get away from church folk, you don't act like Jesus. And that's why you need to be transformed, because you don't want to work on a job where if somebody from your job shows up at your church, they see you and say, I know you're not going to church. You don't want that to happen. You don't want people saying, no, they're getting to church Monday. Guess who I saw at church? You don't want to be that kind of person that they're shocked you even go to church because of the way you act on your job, because of the way you act in your community. You want to be a person whose life is being transformed. Well, bottom line is, here in Exodus, God is trying to get the people into the promised land. But they've gotten into foolishness. And so Moses has a second meeting with God. Now God has said, I will not go with you all. I won't fight your battles for you, because you can't walk in disobedience and have my blessings. Somebody needs to know that before I move on. That if you want what God's got for you, you've got to do what God said to do. You can't walk in disobedience and be blessed at the same time. Now, God is merciful, and there are times when God has put up with a lot of foolishness, but don't make the mistake of thinking God can be mocked. Paul said, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, that shall he also reap. And so you want to understand that obedience is what brings the blessing of the Lord. And God had told them in the early part of Exodus 33, I'm not going with you because you all are stiff-necked and you are getting on my nerves and I'd have to kill you. That's what he said. That's just a paraphrase version of Exodus 33 and 3. And so Moses went into the presence of God to talk with him. And let's pick it up in verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name and you have found favor with me. Well, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you. There's the concept again, and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. Moses had to get between God and these rebellious people and serve as an intercessor. And he said, Lord, you keep telling me that I found favor with you and you've called me to take the people to Canaan, but you said you're not going with us. So Moses said, well, then I want to know who you're sending with me, because I cannot defeat all of the enemies between here and Canaan. I can't defeat those that are in Canaan if you don't go with me. Brothers and sisters, the same thing is true in your life and mine. You can't defeat your enemies unless you have the help of God. Some of us are struggling with addictions we can't break to save our natural lives. And you won't be able to do it until you have the help of Almighty God. Some of us can't get rid of attitudes and besetting sins of the heart. We've got anger issues and greed issues and unforgiveness issues and all kinds of things, sinful pride and all kinds of things going on inside of us. And God is saying, I have power to deliver you, but you have got to learn that your help is in a relationship with me. And Moses said, I can't do this, Lord, unless you send somebody with me. You said you're not going. Well, then who's going? And because he said, remember, these are your people. I have to say that to God sometimes as a pastor. Only mine sounds a little different. I'm like, Lord, these are your people. You need to talk to them now. And he got between God and the people and reminded God of his covenant. And you know what? I love it because as soon as he reminds God of his covenant, of course, God didn't forget the covenant, but God was teaching him how to be a true leader. God will let a leader go through all kind of hell just to teach you how to be a better leader. I'm a witness. God will inconvenience your life to bless somebody else's life. He'll make you go through certain things so when you come out and testify as to how you came out, it'll bless somebody else's life. And that's not just true for leaders. That's for all of us who walk with God. Some of what you're going through is not just for you. It's for somebody else. You say, Lord, why in the world are you letting all this hell break out in my life? Because somewhere down the road, and it might not be long, there will be a divine appointment. And God will allow your life to intersect with somebody else who is going through something. And they're going to have no hope and no encouragement until you show up. And when you hear what they're going through, you say, take a seat. Let me tell you what God can do for you.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's Destined for Victory message, Prove It. Look for any of Pastor Paul's recent messages on demand at PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net. Well, for months now, we've been living in a period of uncertainty. Some are seeking answers in all the wrong places. There's chaos and confusion, political strife and social unrest. But there is good news. More people than ever are listening to Christian radio and internet programs like Destined for Victory. They're looking for truth, for answers that make sense. That's why your support is so critical today, because Pastor Paul shares the truth every day and he needs your help to do it. For your generous donation to Destined for Victory, we have a gift we'd like to send your way, a book from Deborah Smith Pagay called 30 Days to Taming Worry and Anxiety. If the circumstances of life have ever caused you to be worried and stressed out, this resource can be of great help. Packed with truth straight from God's Word, 30 Days to Taming Worry and Anxiety will show you how to manage life's stressful situations God's way. And when you do, you'll have the kind of joy and peace He longs to give you. That's 30 Days to Taming Worry and Anxiety, our gift to you by request for your generous gift to Destined for Victory. Call 855-339-5500 to give over the phone, or mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. You can also make a safe and secure donation from our website, PastorPaul.net. Thanks in advance for helping keep Destined for Victory on the air.
I want to let you know the only thing that'll make your life different is if you will develop an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the only thing. Going to church won't make you different. You can be a church-going heathen just like a non-church-going heathen. And so the difference is knowing Him.
That's next time in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Prove It. Until then, remember, He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.